Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. Today we're going to be talking about microRNAs. We have with us today Dr. Merritt.
Thank you very much, Kelly, and thank you for the introduction. Just to give you more of an introduction about myself and my background, I'm a fourth-year pathology resident at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. My subspecialty interests include hematopathology and molecular genetic pathology, and I will be doing fellowship training in both of those areas. I'm going to be talking about this article published in Lab Medicine. The title is Increased Expression of microRNA 155 in the Serum of Women with Early Stage Breast Cancer. This is by Zhao Su Ying et al. And this paper was published in the summer 2012 edition, volume 43, number 5. It comes from a group in China. So some of the main points I would like to discuss are, first one being, what are microRNAs? And then I'd like to talk about some of the what prior studies have shown regarding microRNAs and their association with different types of cancer. Third, I'll discuss the progress that has taken place so far in implementing microRNAs into clinical practice. And lastly, I'll talk about this article in more detail. So first, what are microRNAs? So microRNAs were only discovered not too long ago. We've only known about them to occur in humans just for a little bit more than 10 years. MicroRNAs are small non-coding RNAs. The size ranges from about 18 to 25 nucleotides, most of them being around 21 or 22 nucleotides in length. So they're very short. They're important, however, because it's been found that they play roles in regulating gene expression. And they do this by various mechanisms. Mainly, they target messenger RNA. It's been recently shown that the 3' untranslated regions of RNA is a common target for these microRNAs. And because they target messenger RNA, these microRNAs probably play roles in perhaps most biological processes that occur in the body, such as cell cycle, cell growth, differentiation, cell responses, etc. So really, microRNAs, it's an exciting field. It's a new field. It's a field that's only been around for a little more than 10 years or so. Now, what about prior studies that have shown microRNAs and their association with cancer? So studies have shown that microRNAs are highly specific for tissue types or for different cell lineages. And subsequently, they've also been shown to be highly specific for certain diseases as well, such as cancer. So studies have taken place looking at different types of cancer, and it seems that certain types of cancer have a unique microRNA expression profile, meaning that only this type of cancer expresses these types of microRNAs, or the expression of those microRNAs are specifically upregulated or downregulated in certain types of cancer. And they compare these microRNA expressions to normal tissues and found that the expression signatures are different. So what this means is that these expression profiles may have clinical implications, either in diagnosis or even in prognosis. For instance, studies have shown that tumor types that have a worse prognosis may have a different type of microRNA signature compared to other tumors that don't have as bad of a prognosis. MicroRNAs have also been studied to see if certain microRNA signatures may be more responsive to certain types of therapy than others. Lastly, microRNAs have also been thought to be possible therapeutic targets. This may come about in the future, and it's thought that this is the case because microRNAs are directly tied to these pathologic processes. Therefore, potentially we can use them as therapeutic targets to stop these pathologic processes. Now I'll discuss what the progress has been so far in implementing these microRNAs into clinical practice. So basically, this is still in its infancy. There are commercial companies out there that just in very recent years have started providing some of these services using microRNA technology. The most common one that's out there right now is doing what they call sort of a tumor of origin testing. Basically, you send them tissue that we're trying to figure out what the tumor of origin is, and these companies look at the microRNA expression profiles, and from that, they can determine what the likely origin of the tumor is. Certain other tumors, I know lung cancer, for example, they also use microRNA profiles to actually divide it up into different histologic types and subtypes. For instance, in lung cancer, it's important to distinguish between squamous versus adenocarcinoma, and they've been using these microRNA profiles to do that. Some other companies have started using microRNA signatures to look at prognostic impact as well for different tumors. One of the future directions that I think some of these companies are going towards is that they can start looking at diagnosing tumors with much smaller specimens, for instance, maybe from a body fluid, maybe from a fine needle aspiration, and they can use these microRNAs to even diagnose cancer with that small amount of material that pathologists normally wouldn't be able to do unless they had a larger tissue specimen. So I think that's one of the future areas that some of these companies are looking towards as far as implementing microRNAs into clinical practice. Now, lastly, and this will lead in specifically to this article that I'm going to discuss, circulating microRNAs have also been found in serum. Now, this has some great potential because if we have these microRNAs in serum and the microRNAs are highly specific for certain types of tumors, then potentially this could provide a way as a non-invasive detection method for cancer, or maybe even not for initial diagnosis, maybe serum detection of microRNA can be used as a prognostic indicator or to follow these patients over time. One other thing about microRNAs and the reason why it has great potential is that microRNAs are very small, as I mentioned before, and they're so small that they don't get degraded as much as, you know, normal DNA or messenger RNA would. Therefore, these microRNAs are more stable in fluids, they're more stable in tissues. For instance, they're much more stable in formalin-fixed paraffin-embedded tissue, so you can actually extract them from paraffin blocks. They've even been able to extract and study microRNA from decalcified specimens. So these are pretty stable molecules, and I think that's one reason why they have great potential. So going into the article, this article is looking at serum microRNA to detect early stage breast cancer. And they're specifically looking at one type of microRNA called microRNA 155. This article first has a discussion about the prevalence of breast cancer, extremely common cancer worldwide. And as we all probably know, breast cancer is difficult to diagnose early on. Now, this paper comes from China, and I'm not aware of what currently they're using to screen women for breast cancer. But here in the U.S., we use serial mammography, you know, we encourage self-examination, and there's a big public campaign to try to promote early detection of breast cancer. But still, I think in the U.S. and worldwide, the early detection of breast cancer is still a problem because most women who have breast cancer are asymptomatic at the time. So with that background, this article talks about the fact that a serum marker for breast cancer would have a lot of value in trying to detect breast cancer at an early stage. This article then discusses what microRNAs are, as I discussed just a few minutes ago. They talk about some prior studies that have shown certain microRNAs that have been associated with breast cancer, and they have a list of them. One of them in the list is microRNA 155, and that's the particular microRNA that the authors in this study chose to look at. So what the authors did in the study is they took a total of 30 patients. 20 of them had breast cancer, 19 of which had stage 2 breast cancer, and one that had stage 1 breast cancer. And they also had 10 healthy controls as well. They drew blood from all these patients, and then they extracted total RNA from their serum. The total RNA would include, since it's total RNA, it would also include all the microRNA. So from the total RNA, they obtained the microRNAs, and what they did was they used reverse transcription, and they had specific loop primers. Now, these loop primers are designed for small fragments of RNA, such as microRNA, so these loop primers work well for that purpose. And they have a specific loop primer for microRNA 155, and they even list the sequence in their materials and methods. They also used reverse transcriptase for RNU6B. Now, RNU6B is a small nuclear RNA gene. And the reason why they did this as well is because it served as an endogenous control. And they refer to one study that used this. Basically, the idea is that RNU6B is going to be stable both in control subjects and in subjects with cancer. And basically, you would compare the microRNA expression to this control expression. So they also used this small nuclear RNA gene because, in fact, there's been no other established controls for microRNA in serum. So this is probably the best alternative to use for that. So they ran the reverse transcription and they utilized real-time PCR for their analysis. And they described that in detail. What's important to point out about the real-time PCR is that it uses cycle threshold as the measurement. Basically, the number of cycles of PCR, there's a fluorescent signal that gets generated, and once that fluorescent signal reaches a certain threshold of detection, then the machine measures that, and then we know how many cycles it took to get to that threshold. And basically, the idea is that the less number of cycles it takes to get to that threshold, the more expression of that RNA there is. So for instance, if microRNA 155 in one patient takes less time to reach that cycle threshold, then that means that microRNA 155 is upregulated in that patient. So then they compare the values of the cycle threshold for microRNA 155 to the control, which is RNU6B, and they calculated the difference of one. And there's a table that summarizes the data. It's table 3A and 3B that shows the data for the healthy controls and the patients with breast cancer and their negative delta cycle threshold values. And what they basically show is that in the patients with breast cancer, the microRNA 155B is upregulated, meaning that those patients had lower cycle thresholds, and the delta value is positive in those cases. Whereas in healthy controls, the microRNA 155 actually appears downregulated, meaning that the amount of microRNA 155 is less in the healthy controls. And they all have negative delta cycle threshold values, except for one patient had a positive value. I'll talk about that in a second. So to discuss their data, they do say that they used a p-value of less than or equal to 0.05 as being statistically significant. And they say that the expression of microRNA 155 was significantly upregulated in those patients with breast cancer when they compared them to healthy controls using the p-value as their measurement for statistical significance. So looking at the data further, their overall trend is true, as I discussed, with microRNA-155 being upregulated in the patients with breast cancer. However, this is only one marker out of many that have been associated with breast cancer. You know, looking at the data again, some of the patients with breast cancer had very upregulated microRNA-155, but some of them, the microRNA-55 was only slightly upregulated, just even a little bit above zero. And if you look at the controlled group, almost all of them, the microRNA-155 was downregulated, but there was one patient that actually, for some unknown reason, had upregulation of microRNA-155 with a positive value that was even higher than some of the patients with breast cancer. So that is one thing to point out, that just using this one marker, you know, may be of limited value. It did seem like it was very sensitive. It did pick up upregulation in all the patients with breast cancer in the 20 patients that they used. But I think specificity is probably a problem because we have one patient in the healthy control group that showed upregulation. So the delta cycle threshold value cutoff wouldn't be able to be established from that. So the article in the end does point out some of the shortcomings. And again, this is a limited study. There was only a total of 30 patients being examined, 20 of them with breast cancer. So the low sample size is something worth mentioning. And it's also worth mentioning that we're only looking at one single microRNA marker, whereas there's actually been many other markers that have also been associated with breast cancer. So to me, what this means is that there is some promise still here, but I think the direction to move into is to actually have a panel of microRNA markers, a combination of multiple ones, maybe microRNA-155 along with some of the other ones that they list in this article that have been shown to be associated with breast cancer. And from that increased amount of data with multiple markers, then we may actually develop a very good test in the future that could detect breast cancer at an early stage.
Thanks, Dr. Merritt, for talking to us today about microRNAs. I know I found it very informative, and I hope our listeners did as well.
Thank you very much.